Good morning.
Good morning.
That's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. Beautiful sunshine. I'd like to welcome all up to Flat Springs. If you're visiting with us today, we're so glad that you chose to spend this hour of worship with us. You'll find some visitor cards in the seat back in the pew in front of you. If you would, we'd like to invite you to fill out some basic information there to give us a record of your visit. Announcements. First, congratulations to Patrick and Sarah Smith on the birth of Sutton Renee Smith. She entered this world on January the 18th. She weighed in at 6 pounds, 5 ounces and was 20 inches long. Also congratulations to her grandmother, Amy Godwin, and to her great grandparents, Ronnie and Sandy Tillotson. Youth parents, today is the deadline for you to get your money in for Discipleship Now weekend. Also, the financial statements are in the mailboxes in the kitchen. Please pick those up. If you do not, they will have to be mailed out. Also, Wednesday night prayer meetings will resume this Wednesday night at 6:45 here in the sanctuary. We do have some prayer requests. Ms. Irene Cotton is in the hospital at Western Wake. Frances Davis, who is Terry Wilkins' mom, is in the hospital at Central Carolina. And Ms. Darlene Hoffman is having an MRI on her hip coming up. So, any other announcements you can take care of? Okay. I'm reminded of a story this morning. There's a writer by the name of Joshua Rogers. He's a freelance journalist, but he frequently writes about his daily walk in Christ. And he tells the story of a couple of summers ago. He was on vacation at the beach, and he got up early one morning and went out and sat down in the sand. He wanted to watch the sunrise come up over the ocean. And as he was sitting there and watching the sunrise come up, it was beautiful. Beautiful red, orange, yellow colors just illuminating the sky, and then they started to reflect off the water. And he just happened to look down the beach a few yards, and he saw a lady sitting in a chair. And she was on her cell phone. She was focused really on that cell phone. And he recognized her as the same lady from the afternoon before, the day before, who was doing the same thing. She was there on the beach, and she had that cell phone, and she was so focused on that cell phone. She'd even get up every now and then and wade in the edge of the water, but she didn't take her eyes off that cell phone. And he said as he was sitting there thinking about this, he said God spoke to him. And he said, "How do you know that this lady is not anxiously awaiting word for a sick family member or a sick relative? How do you know she's not searching the internet looking for some new treatment plan for somebody?" He said, "And while you're distracted by her distraction, you're missing my beautiful sunrise that I gave you, that you came out here to look at. You're missing that." So just take a moment sometimes to look at what distractions we may have in our lives that may keep us from seeing what God's offering us, whatever. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious day that you've given us to come and worship you. And Father, I pray that each of us will put distractions aside and focus our hearts and our minds to hear what it is that you want to say to us today. What is the blessing that you want to give us? And Father, I ask that you be with these men as they lead us in our worship today, that through their leadership, we will gain the strength and encouragement to be your hands and your voice to further your will on this earth. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Oh God, we ask for strength.
Turn in your hymnals to number 497, The Master Hath Come. Let's stand as we sing.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us here after a very cold week and bring us here nice and safe. Thank you, Lord, for this Baptist Men's Day. And please use this offering for your glory and be with those on our prayer list, the six and the ones that need your help. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
remain standing and turn to 495, Serve the Lord with Gladness.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. How are we doing today? Good. Well, I think I look a little bit different than the person you normally see on Sunday mornings, but my wife Taylor has asked me to be up here to help lead us this morning. I brought something with me this morning. Does anybody know what this is? It's a what? A tool bag. That's right. And what do you think's in here? Some tools, that's exactly right. And I brought some tools with me this morning, and I want to see if you can help me figure out what they're used for and what they are. Let's see. Let's start with this one. What's this called? A hammer. And what do we use a hammer for? We hammer in nails, that's right. So if we needed to fix something or hang something on the wall, or if there was a nail sticking out, we could hammer it in. And this is my hammer, and they also make them in different colors, so if you wanted a different color one, this one is Taylor's, and it is pink. So, let's see what else we got this morning. How about this one? What's this called? Measuring tape. Very good. And what do we use this for?
To measure.
To measure, so maybe to see how tall you are, or I use it when I need to measure something on the wall, to see how far apart it is. And we have a lot of different uses for it. And let's see, what else we got in here? How about this? These are what? Pliers. And what do we use pliers for?
To get stuff out.
Okay, so if there was something I couldn't reach, maybe I could use it to get it out. Or if there was something I couldn't turn, I could attach this to it and it could help me turn it so that I could unscrew it or get it off. Very good. What about this one? This one's kind of fun. What's this one called?
A drill.
A drill. And when I press this button, it spins around, and I can drill something in, or I can take something out with it, right? And let's see. This one, I think everybody will recognize, and I tried to find the biggest one that we've got. And what is this?
A flashlight.
A flashlight. And this is kind of a big flashlight, right? And what do you use a flashlight for?
To
see in the dark, that's right. And I also have one more thing that I'm sure everybody actually has, and I don't know if you've thought about this as a tool before, but what is this?
A Bible.
This is my Bible. And how can you use your Bible as a tool? When you read it, that's right. To follow the Word of God, that's right. And when you know the Word of God, you can use this as a tool to help tell other people about Jesus. And I have one verse today that I'd like to read to you. And this is from Psalm 119, verse 105. And it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." So as we go out this week and we go back to school, I want you to remember that you can use your Bible as a tool just as well. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you so much for this day and allowing us to be here in your house of worship, God. I pray as we go back to school this week that we will remember that your word is also a tool, and I pray that you will help us to use that daily. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father, is who you are, is who you are, is who you are, and I'm loved by you, is who I am, is who I am, is who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father, is who you are, is who you are, is who you are, and I'm loved by you, is who I am, is who I am, is who I am, because you are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect. Perfect in all of your ways. Oh, you're perfect. undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unattainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still and to love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Amen.
Got a little scripture today. Randy had asked me to have some scripture. I told him I'd have just one verse, but I got a whole page for him. He needs it today. He needs all. He told me to read real slow too. Anyway, it's about serving and giving is what kind of the theme a little bit, I guess, since it's about the disaster relief was what the speaker was going to be here, was going to talk about. But I got Acts 20, verse 35. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And in 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11a, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And in 1 John 3, 17 and 18, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. And in John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And then the last one is 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for so many blessings. We thank you for the skills and the things that the gifts you have given us and that you lay on our heart what we should do with them, how we should serve and step up and be counted on, especially to those that are in darkness and do not know your way. Thank you for all things. In your name, amen.
Thank you. Morning. I had the easiest job today that probably was ever planned. The wonderful WMU ladies prepared a great breakfast for us, and my job was to come and call the Baptist men to order, enjoy that delicious breakfast, and introduce our guest speaker today, Mr. Chip McGirth. Mr. Chip is not here, but I was going to tell you great things about him, about how he is the Baptist men's leader for hurricane recovery in the Goldsboro area, and how he retired early. God provided for him so he could retire early and could take on this new task. But he couldn't be here. So things have changed a little bit. There's detours in life, and we're detouring this morning. First of all, like I said, I'd like to thank Stephanie and the WMU staff. It was a delicious breakfast. And Stephanie had on our tables, I don't want to read it. It's not that I'm trying to pat the Baptist men on the back. We all work hard, men and ladies, ladies and men. We all have a job to do in this church, in God's church, and we all do it. And I think we do it extremely well. But it says in the scripture of Psalms 63, verses 2 through 4, it says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Let us leave with that memory today. I ask Brother Gary, if you will now, to open us up with some scripture.
Well, I had an easier job than you did today. Chip had a tough night. He was sick through the night and called early this morning. His wife actually called letting us know he couldn't be here. During our Baptist men's gathering, Randy brought this to us and what we needed to do and how God was going to take this circumstance and use it. And so we all began to think and pray about what that looked like, and it became pretty clear pretty quick. You know, there's a verse that says, be ready at all times to give a good word, in season and out of season. This may be out of season, Randy, but it seemed clear to me that God wanted Randy to share a word with us. And so we talked a little bit, and a story came to my mind from the Old Testament. It's found in 1 Kings. Our text is found in 1 Kings chapter 19, if you'd like to turn there, beginning in verse 9. It's the story that you've probably heard. So I've preached sermons on it before. It's a great. It's where we get that idea of the still small voice. Our text will use it as a whisper today. But it's a story of Elijah. After he had won this tremendous battle, the contest at Mount Carmel, it was called, where because Ahab in his disobedience had married Jezebel, a Sidonite, and she had brought into Israel the worship of Baal, the false god, had disgraced the God of Israel. And in this passage a couple of chapters before, there's this great contest where they take two bulls and 600 Baal prophets are to pray down fire from Baal to consume the Baal sacrifice. And Elijah taunts them. He says, speak a little louder, maybe your God's asleep. And they do all they can to muster fire, but no fire will fall. And then when it's Elijah's time, he says, I tell you what, just so you'll know, drench my bull with water. And they wet down the bull to the point where everyone must have been saying, there's no way. You ever feel like there's no way? Randy, you ever feel like there's no way? And then the prophet prays to the God of Israel, the true God, Yahweh, our God. And God sends down fire. And he consumes that soaked sacrifice. And you would think the story ends well. For all should know that the God of Israel is the true God. The God who won the contest at Mount Carmel. But Jezebel's not happy. And so she makes her own prophecy. When she finds out that the false prophets have been put to death, she says, before the sun goes down, it needs to take place in Elijah. He needs to die. And so we find Elijah, who has fled from Mount Carmel, has fled from Jezebel and Ahab, and finds himself in the wilderness. And here is a moment in time that has great lessons for us as well. We're going to begin to read in 1 Kings chapter 19 with verse 9. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's word. And he, Elijah, came to a cave, and he lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And here's what Elijah said in verse 10. "I have been very jealous for the Lord and the God of hosts, for the people of Israel. They have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him, and he said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said what he said a moment ago, 'I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel, who have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be the king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, Abel-Mehel, you shall anoint to be the prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000. In Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him.'" May God add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Would you pray with me before Randy comes? God, we do hear this word, this story, this reminder that life's not always like we think it's going to be, but you're always God. And Lord, we are grateful that you have us in your hand. Thank you for the way we have already worshiped you, for the truths you have expressed, for the worship that you have led us to through song and through special music. And Lord, may our commitment be that we would be living for you, for you are our good, good Father. Be with Randy as he brings what you will lay upon his heart to bring to us. For our prayers in Jesus' name, amen.
You didn't read slow enough. Detour. Last night, I was coming home from the Lexington area, actually early this morning. And just coming down the road, and just in the middle of nowhere was a detour sign. And I looked at it, big orange and black arrow, detour, and I thought, wow, wonder where they're going. Wonder where they're going to. Passed it off, went on home. Went to bed early this morning, got up, like I said, easiest job in the world, had it planned. 6:45, the phone rings. We plan stuff. We all plan stuff. Everybody here at some time or another has had a trip planned to the beach, a shopping trip. And along comes a bad storm, or along comes a hurricane, or whatever, and our plans change. Well, we had some plans. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of background. Several months ago, Jimmy came to us and said, I've got a gentleman that would, I think, would make a great speaker. And he explained what he could talk about. And oh, I loved it. We all loved it. We've made arrangements. I was coasting. Baptist men's speaker was handled. Then the call came. Can't quite make it. Okay, back up and punt. Gary said, well, what about Chip? Hey, great idea, Gary. It's the reason you make the big bucks. So I called Chip. And Chip is an interesting guy. He works hard for the people. He works hard for the Baptist men. He works hard to spend our monies wisely that we give to the missions. And I was excited to get Chip here, and Chip was excited to come. And then, like I said this morning, 6:45, the phone rings. And I'm like, what is that crazy alarm I'm hearing? That doesn't sound like my regular alarm clock. And I wake up and realize it's the phone, and I'm hello. And here's a lady on the other end. Never met the lady. I'm assuming she's a wonderful lady. She's married to Chip, and she keeps him straight, so she's got to be. And in a concerned voice, she said, is this Randy Keck? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I'm Dorothy McGirth. And I'm like, uh-oh. 6:45, Miss Dorothy calling. And she said, Chip wanted me to call you and tell you that he's been sick. And I'm like, okay, understand. Will you tell Chip to get better? We hope he gets better real soon. We're going to be praying for him and to take care and continue his job he's doing. And I stopped right there. I laid my phone back down and I said a prayer for Chip. Then, being the selfish, conceited soul that I am, I said a prayer for Randy. But Randy's prayer was longer than Chip's. And I thought, what in the world are we going to do? So I got up, I took a shower. I'm going to do what every good church member does. I'm going to turn it over to the preacher. So I text Gary, we need to back up and punt. Chip is sick. You ever had that message that you sent out that never came back? There we are. So I get to church this morning, and I'm like, Gary, Chip is sick. But I'm going to back up a little bit before that. Coming down the road, I'm thinking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We got people coming today for Baptist Men's Day, and we got nothing. What are we going to do? And I started thinking about it. And I said, wait a minute. We're missing the picture. I'm missing the picture. I am missing the picture. We've been trying to bring people here to speak. That wasn't what God wanted. That wasn't what God wanted. So at 6:45 this morning, he let me know that. And between then and 8 o'clock, 8:15, 8:20, getting here, he opened my eyes to see it. And the whole time I'm coming down the road, what are we going to do? And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but you may have felt the building trembling just a little bit this morning. Well, that was me. Okay, that was me shaking. But anyway, coming down the road, I'm like, what are we going to do? And it hit me. God's got it. Get out of the way. Let God handle it. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to do something today that he wants done. Give him the power. Give him the way. So when I saw Gary this morning, I'm like, Chip's not going to be here. We need to do something. Chip, he said, what you got in mind? I'm like, I don't know. And I still didn't know. So after breakfast, I stood up pretty much and made the general announcement. Chip ain't coming, guys. What are we going to do? And I explained to everybody what I felt. that God wanted someone here to speak today. I don't know that it was me he wanted to speak, but I'm up here. So bear with me today as we go through. I think about Elijah. God led him to one of the great victories. And he heard, we all expect big things. We expected God to be in the fire. We expected God to be in the earthquake. He came in a whisper. He came in a whisper. That just goes to show me that I need to shut my mouth and open my ears. Because if I'm talking, I can't hear that whisper. So that's what I need to do, is to listen to that whisper. Elijah realizes what's going on. Can you think of the fear that went through his mind when he found out you're going to be killed? I'm sending people to kill you. The fear that he must go through or went through. And he ran off to the cave. And sometimes, buddy, today is one of those days when I want to run and hide. If I could have got sick at 8 o'clock this morning, I'd have been deathly ill. Couldn't make it work. Wouldn't make it work out. So as we go through that, we all go through, we all have those times when we're not sure what's going on. We're not real sure the path we're supposed to be on. I do especially. And here again, we all know sometimes our plans don't work out. We have to take that detour. Can you imagine what our world would be like if we all got our way? Think about this past week. You know, it was snowy, it was cold. Can you imagine if we all got our way? Boy, would we not have had some messed up weather? In one spot it would have been 85 degrees and sunshine, in the next spot it would have been 20 below, and it would just been a situation. So sometimes when our plans don't work out, God will come to us and show us his plan. That's what it's all about. That's the plan we need to work on. That's the plan we need to follow. And sometimes that road is not clear. That path is not clear. So what we're hoping today is for the Lord to pass by us and lead us. And hopefully in something that happens here today, you will get the message, the whisper that he's delivering to us. We think about how life would be different if the Lord passed by our situation. Today, it really, to me, serves as a great reminder that God often comes to us in unexpected ways. I guarantee there's not a soul here that got up this morning expecting to come see me standing here talking for any period of time. And I thank you for those that stayed. But it's good that we make plans, but we have to plan. But we have to remember that God always has bigger plans for us, greater plans, and it's his plan. And his being his plan makes it the best plan. We can sit here and plan all day long. We can plan how we're going to sing joyful songs. But if that's not in his plan, it's just not going to work out. So we need to remember that we are following God's plan. In verse 11, God was talking to Elijah and said, get out of the cave, this hiding, and go stand. That's pretty stout. Go stand. Where does God want us to stand today? Today, where does God want us to stand as individuals? I can't answer for you. I can answer for me. I know where God wants me to be because he put me here. Did I want to be here? Mm-mm. But he put me here. So I'm going to do the best I can with what I've got to work with. Elijah had to go out because if he's in hiding, is there something today that we're hiding from? You only know the answer to that. I can't answer that for you. Are there some things I'm hiding from? I think we all have. I do. I've got a few that I'm going to have to step up and face them. So as we go about our life, What we're hearing, what I'm hearing in the scripture today, will stand up. Stand up and be seen. Come out of hiding. And whatever you're hiding, look at it straight in the face. Look at it straight on. That's the only way you can deal with it. You can't deal with it behind a closed door because you can't see it. You got to be able to see it, look at it. In the scripture, there was a strong wind, and like I said, we expect God to be in that strong wind. When we pray to God, we expect a big kaboom when we get that answer. Sometimes it's not. It's not the big kaboom. That's what we look for. That's what we ask for. That's what we think we've got to do to get the answer. That's not true. Because the scripture says that God was not, the Lord was not in the wind. Several years ago, I'm going to date myself here a little bit. Several years ago, there was a song. I can't remember who sang it now, but the answer is blowing in the wind. That was the song. And at that point, I probably lived like the answer was blowing in the wind. And it was a bad wind. It was a wrong wind. But at that particular time, that was the path I followed. Now, I know that's not true. I know the answer is not in the wind. But then we follow on with the scripture, and if God is not in the strong wind, the devil knew he would show up in an earthquake. That's power. Earthquake is powerful. So you're expecting God to show in the earthquake. When the earthquake happened, he's there. He's stronger. The God we serve is so much stronger than any earthquake that's ever happened. But he didn't choose the earthquake. After the wind had gone, the earthquake had happened, tremendous fire broke out, and the prophets knew that God was going to be in the fire. Had to be. Had to be. Got to be. Because they were looking for boldness. They were looking for greatness. But then God came to the distraught prophet. Not, like we said, not in the fire, not in the wind, not in the earthquake. These are ways that they wanted and ways that sometimes we expect God to show up. Not like the ways that we think of God showing up in the burning bush for Moses, or the strong wind that pushed back the Red Sea that allowed Israel to cross on dry land. Those winds are powerful, but that's not how he chose to come. He appears to the frightened prophet in a small voice, just a whisper. A lot of times we want God to shout us out the answer because we're hard-headed. But he usually just whispers to us. The situation a few years ago that I felt like I needed to step up and step into, but I wasn't sure. Miss Nettie, I hope you won't mind me sharing this. It was a Ronald McDonald ministry. Leonard was asking for someone to step up for just a few days, just a few weeks. I bet you I've done that 25 times that night. But it never went here. So I went home that night and I prayed about it. And I said, God, I am so hard-headed. I am hard-headed. I need to know without a doubt that's what you want me to do. Hit me in the back of the head with a 2x4. That was my prayer. Hit me in the back of the head with a 2x4. Show me what you want me to do. You know how you wake up in the morning and one thought pops in your head? And you think, where in the world did that thought come from? And you get up and you go on your day. Well, the next morning when I woke up, if you've never been to the Ronald McDonald House in Chapel Hill or any of the Ronald McDonald houses, right outside the walkway, there's a bench. And on that bench is the clown, Ronald McDonald, sitting there with his arm out so that you can sit and have your picture made. The first thought that popped in my mind that morning was that bench. I said, God, I got it. He whispered to me. He whispered to me. I called Mr. Leonard. We went and we had a good conversation. And the Ronald McDonald ministry continues today. But he whispered. He whispered. I asked for the 2x4. But he whispered. And sometimes I need that 2x4. I need a 6x6. I need to listen to the whisper. That's what I need to do. So, as we go about that, and as we go out today, this change of plans, we need to step out. Buddy, I'm out there. I'm out of my box, okay? I'm out there. I stepped out. Scared to death. But you know, as we come to an end, it feels good because I feel like I've said something that God told me to say, and I don't know exactly what that was. I hope it came to you. I hope he will whisper it to you of what you need to hear. And I think about as we go about our life, there might be some areas that we need to step out in our faith. Like Elijah stepped out of the cave. He was scared. He was frightened. But he had to step out of the cave. Maybe we need to, step out at home. Or step up at home. How about work? How about school? Is there places there that we might need to step out or step up? Step out in our community. I probably need to step up and step out with my personal walk with Christ. I'm not going to say anybody else does, but I'm going to tell you I do. I need to step up and step out. I need to be bolder. I'm not bold enough, I don't think. I need that step up. I need him to whisper to me one more time. I need to listen when he does whisper. And maybe we need to be reminded that when it's going in unexpected ways, God hadn't left us. You know? Jokingly, this morning I asked for some Valium, and I was told it ain't enough to give everybody one in the church. I was thinking about me. Taylor was thinking about you guys. So, when God comes to us and asks us to step out in unexpected ways, be ready for it. Be ready for it. Be bold and go. God did not forsake Elijah, and God will not forsake us in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Prophet thought that he was the only one. And yet in verse 18, God knew there were 7,000 children of Israel that had not compromised their faith. So today, I guess the question would be, what unexpected thing could God do for us that we would stand by our faith in front of him? And with that, I bid you farewell.
Thank you, Randy.
Pray with me. Wow, Lord, just wow. You started in the announcements. You used Ben as a mouthpiece to remind us you're a good, good father. You surrounded us with scripture. And you took Randy. And you spoke through him as clearly as I've ever heard you speak. And now, Lord, we're here in your presence at this moment in time to make a decision on what we need to do. Maybe we're here and we're bitter because of unexpected things, and we need to give you the bitterness. Maybe we're here and we're broken because of unexpected things, and we need to give you the brokenness. Maybe we're here and we're afraid because things aren't like we thought they would be. And we need to give you our fear. Maybe there's one here today who doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins. But today you've spoken clearly about step up and step out in faith. And you're speaking to that heart even now. Thank you for this time of worship. And now as we come to this moment of decision, whether we make a public decision or a private decision, Lord, don't let us just sing the hymn. But let us decide what we're going to do. that your plan is the best plan, and to make sure we're walking in your plan. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 487. This morning, if God is leading you to make a public decision because of what God has said, my goodness, we want to invite you to do that. But I pray that each of us, it was clear today, wasn't it? It was clear today. This was a clear worship service. God spoke clearly. Now it's our turn to speak. What will we say back as we stand together and say? Indeed, it's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord. I want to say a special word of thanks to our deacons and to Taylor for joining me this past Friday night and Saturday morning as we examined the roles of the church leaders and we looked at the future of our church and we asked God to give us some direction. And it was a powerful moment for me, and I appreciate it. Their faithfulness in doing that with me this weekend. Whoever's praying for snow, would you please stop? We're done. We are done, okay? And again, I try to get that phone tree out and make sure you know, but if you need something, I've had many people call and say, Pastor, if someone has a need, I've got a four-wheel drive, I get there, let me know. So if you get in need, if your power goes out or you need a heater, I know the power went out in some places. We're a church family, and we can pull together our resources. And some of us who got power might let you borrow our generator, and we'll keep you going as well, and we'll just do that. So that I hope we don't have any more opportunities to have this conversation. But if we do, know we stand ready to help as well. Randy. You know, if this thing at Camp Royale doesn't work out for you, this might be a path. I don't know. Thank you for all the ways God uses you and you allow God to use you in our church. And this was a special day for me. I've been doing this for almost 40 years, and I've never had a day like today. It It's a powerful day, and I thank you for being God's mouthpiece. I'm going to ask you to come and stand, because part of the process is when you bring the message, you need to hear what people heard as they meet you at the door. So I'm going to ask you to come and stand with me at the door. And I know you'll want to express what God lays on your heart to Randy as you leave us. And now, as our Baptist men have led us in worship today, let us leave this place in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His stand up in the midst of unexpected plans kind of people, in the midst of all this. Would you pray? God, thank you for your word to us this day. We have been in your presence, and you have spoken to us clearly. Thank you for that word. Now receive the gift of our faithfulness to implement that word in our life and in our living this week. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jacket up there. I know. There's like a big TV. It's like right down on the floor beside me.